Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all Bonnie 4.5-inch vegetable and herbs are on sale through May 17th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN975. Me and Dell now for the next hour. As long as my, if this goes out, Dell, then you're just screwed. You're just going to have to recap everything. But I don't think it's going out today. I don't think we have the power being turned off like we did yesterday. But how about we lasted 3 hours and 55 minutes, okay?
And how long was the power out?
It was out for about 45 minutes.
Jerks. Just wait till 11
I know,
next time.
Right? This was a pretty good question by The Athletic. They've got an article. They do some good stuff, The Athletic. I think I'm going to have to subscribe to it. Do you subscribe to it?
No, I get enough because I don't know if you want to call it theft by other reporters or just those aggregating sites where, hey, there's a snippet from The Athletic because Daryl Morey said this or another player said that, and that's enough at this point. I don't know how The Athletic's making money, but I'm not sure if it's a great business model when people can just take parts of your story and put it in their aggregate site and like, look, we've got a story here, but it's all from The Athletic.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this question. So this is their article. It's the 10th anniversary of realignment, college athletics realignment. Who would like to do a do-over? So let's start with the Big 12. Texas A&M and Missouri left the Big 12. Do you think that either of those schools would like a do-over?
I don't think either one would say. Certainly Texas A&M wouldn't say it, just strictly for a pride thing. Even if you remove what the positives from going to the SEC, they would never admit that it was a mistake. And Missouri's been the one, if we're just focusing on football, Missouri's been the one SEC title game since they've been there, which, I mean, they had a couple years under Gary Pinkel with Chase Daniel or Daniels when they were – is it Daniel or Daniels? I don't remember.
Chase Daniel
when they were competing with Todd Reesing with Kansas for a couple of times for the Big 12 title. But I don't think either team would say, yeah, the Big 12 is better for us. So I don't think the money itself would say we made the right decision.
Excuse me. No, I don't think either of them would say. I think they're both happy in the SEC. Do you think – I think they're both – yeah, because they brought a lot more eyes and a lot bigger programs to the table, to their universities. Alabama comes to town. LSU comes to town.
Georgia plays Missouri.
Georgia, yeah.
Yeah, Florida goes there much better than having an Iowa State show up.
Right. Kansas State, whatever. No, the SEC was a good move for both of those teams. What about for the Big 12 bringing in TCU and West Virginia?
I don't know if West Virginia is a positive for the Big 12. I mean, TCU, they had the run, and it was where they couldn't get to the top four because they didn't get to play Baylor again in a Big 12 title game, which was the impetus for them moving to a Big 12 title game. I don't see TCU as a bad thing because Jamie Dixon's there in basketball, so they're building a program there. I mean, basketball would be the only thing I could think of that would have made West Virginia a positive for the Big 12 since they joined, because Bob Huggins had some good teams.
TCU makes sense geographically. TCU makes sense with, you know, their athletics and what they put into it. Yeah, West Virginia is kind of the outlier. But if you want to know the truth, you probably want to have West Virginia. Would you rather have West Virginia or Kansas in there?
If you had your choice, you'd rather have West Virginia.
Even Kansas State.
Well, Kansas basketball is a big thing for the Big 12.
Yeah. So, but football runs everything.
Certainly. But West Virginia, now with Dana leaving, but West Virginia hasn't been good enough, I think. I don't think they've added enough in football, or maybe even what the Big 12 thought they would add in football. And now they're going into a transition, well, I think, with
right.
a new – certainly with the new head coach coming off his first year after Dana went to Houston. I would say TCU a positive. They're probably meh on West Virginia. I'm sure it doesn't help that their schools have to travel out there for games, particularly the smaller sports.
No, right. It doesn't make nearly as much sense. West Virginia doesn't make nearly as much sense as TCU, even though West Virginia had its run. West Virginia took care of business against Texas when Dana was there.
Yeah.
Now they couldn't handle Oklahoma State, but they took care of business against Texas. That's for sure.
That's true, but that's more of a spoiler than a positive. If you had probably asked Big 12 people privately, we would rather have Texas take care of West Virginia, unless West Virginia is going to be propelled to winning the Big 12 and going to major bowl games. We don't want West Virginia beating Texas. It doesn't help us.
You're right. But it certainly made it more competitive.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Not sure that you wanted that. And remember those Oklahoma and West Virginia games that were great.
Yeah, they're a couple.
But they were like 62-61.
Those games didn't help the Big 12's reputation, but they were important games as far as the conference was concerned. But watching those games from the outside, if you had any bias against the Big 12, you just thought it was clown football. At least that's what the national perspective was.
What about the ACC? Pittsburgh, Syracuse, Boston College, Virginia Tech, all coming over to out of the Big East.
Yeah,
Miami.
It started with Miami, certainly, and Miami's been their greatest disappointment. Miami's been better in basketball than they have been in football. Miami has a ACC title, tournament title, and regular season title in basketball, and has only been to the conference title game in football once. I don't think the ACC minds expanding their footprint, but as far as national prestige, that particular expansion hasn't helped very much. I mean, Syracuse isn't great in basketball anymore, so they don't even get that push. Now, they've made a couple runs where they're like an 11th seed and get to the Sweet 16, but yeah, if you ask the ACC, they love it because Miami, when they're good, all eyes are on that school for the negative and the positive. But can you think of the teams that have made the ACC better from the Big East as a conference? It's a bigger conference, but I'm sure the TV deal is bigger. But as far as national prestige,
no. I think it's by far the worst of the. Well, it's running a hot. It's a hot race against the Pac-12. Which one is a weaker football conference?
Yeah, I mean, ACC will point to Clemson, and I mean,
but that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, and there's not a clear second. Everyone's still fighting for second. So, and we know the Coastal hasn't had a dominant team. You just look at the rotation of teams who have won that side of the division. So even when it transitioned from Florida State to Clemson as the leader in that conference, there was never another team that you could say, okay, we're waiting for that ACC title game because we're going to have a really good Coastal team on the other side. As far as the Pac-12 is concerned, Utah's been good for them, a good football program for them. Colorado had 1 year, and other than that, they've been meh or worse than meh, multiple coaching changes. And much like the ACC, they haven't had a two-horse race at any point. Oregon was good, and that was it at one point. USC had a couple Pac-12 titles, or at least Rose Bowl and Cotton Bowl appearances. And other than that, I think the best thing for a conference is a legit two-horse race as far as who's the best team. And the ACC and the Pac-12 haven't had that.
No, not even close. The Big Ten picked up Nebraska in 2010, which has not panned out. Maryland and Rutgers in 2012.
Nothing.
That is a disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you need those two for?
To get to a certain number. There's no
14.
Other, And yeah, there's no, I can't think of another reason why you needed those two in the conference. I mean, Maryland for basketball, you added a good basketball program, although they haven't done much in the tournament since they've joined the conference, but they've been a legit top 25 team in season since they've been in the Big Ten. But we know football drives this, and those teams were not going to add anything. I don't, right. Even from the jump.
No, nothing. Nothing. And Colorado and Utah in the Pac-12, Utah's added plenty football-wise.
Yeah, Utah's been good for them as far as a football team, but like I mentioned, Colorado had one good year. But other than that, expansion, the problem is you didn't get made. I mean, Texas A&M, Miami came before the Giant expansion because they see kind of trickle teams in from the Big East. But the problem is the two biggest brands as far as expansion have been concerned are Miami and Texas A&M, and neither one has a conference title since joining. Now, A&M has had less time to try to win one, and they entered a tougher conference. But Miami went from an elite team before they joined the ACC to one that's middling at best.
It's going on 10 years now for A&M, though.
Yeah, and they jumped in with the bang, certainly with Johnny, but those two biggest brands in the expansion game haven't won a conference title.
Well, hey, Arkansas got to the SEC in 92, and they haven't won a conference title.
Yeah, so that's true. But if you're A&M, hey, they're like, hey, we're not Arkansas. The thought is we put more money into our program. We have the facilities. Don't compare us to Arkansas. I'm not saying you are, but they wouldn't want that comparison at all.
Arkansas was a pretty good football program before it left the Southwest Conference.
I'm aware of the history. But I don't think A&M people would say, considering how much money we spent and how much money we put in the program, don't compare us to Arkansas. We should be doing better. We should have conference title.
Well, and they got to do it this year, if you want to know the truth. They got everything going for them. They got it. They got us. The Jimbo's got to step up this year. 10-16 ESPN 97.5, time to talk Champion Energy and being a champion and saving money. I'm so sick of people spending more than they have to, really. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of you writing a bigger check than you have to every month. Well, I pay mine online, and I just go, puh, there it goes. Oh, that was easy. There was nothing to that because it is awesome because I pay less because they're not as greedy. And that's basically it. With these electricity companies, the fees that they charge you, they can tell you all about the rate. They can tell you about the free nights, weekends, and all the other stuff that they got. But when it comes down to the bottom line is where are they? Because they're going to do, oh, well, you got this fee, and then you got this fee. Oh, here's another fee. And they make up the most unbelievable fees ever. So everybody's got fees, but go with a company that's just less greedy, a locally owned and operated company. They're right there on Hardy Toll Road. If you're looking for the best electricity company, service-wise and money-wise, at the end of every month, champion.energy/1560.
Loaded, ready, rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
So we're looking at system shifts at some schools, Dell. Georgia has picked up Jamie Newman. Notre Dame, apparently, is changing things up. Oregon, Penn State, Auburn, according to Bruce Feldman. Who's most likely to take an LSU-like leap from good to great thanks to a system shift?
Can you list the names again, the teams?
Georgia, Notre Dame, Oregon, Penn State, and Auburn.
I wonder how big of a system shift there really will be. I know Chad Morris is the OC at Auburn now, but Gus Malzahn has always been a meddler, so we'll see how much of a system shift there is. I think Georgia is the one that has a real shot. I'm not as high on Jamie Newman as maybe people writing articles are, but Georgia, if we're to believe Kirby Smart and his OC hire, are moving to a spread. And that is the one, if you can think about the major teams in college football who legit have shots at winning titles every year, Georgia's maybe the only school in that group who wasn't running that type of offense. And they still recruit well at the wide receiver position. Haven't got a lot of production. Some injuries have been an issue there. But you add a veteran quarterback, an offense that's going to kind of take into account the guys you can put out on the field in 4 and 5 wide sets. Will Kirby Smart allow that to be the case, or will he say, you know what, I still got all these backs and I really want to run the football a lot? If he goes all in after seeing what happened at LSU, I think Georgia has a real shot.
I think Penn State, Sean Clifford, I like him. I think he's got a chance to be a good quarterback. I think if they change things up, get into this century, and start flinging it around, I think that they can. I think they can give Ohio State a run.
Now, Penn State has run a spread since Joe Moorhead got there, and he's the other one you mentioned. I think he's now at Oregon, but they haven't been certainly throw the ball 40 times a game and stuff. Now, that might be just due to the fact that they don't believe in Sean Clifford. He'll have to take a step forward. I'm just looking at some of his game logs last year. But you remember what was his name? What was McSorley's first name? Was it
Trace
McSorley? I mean, they threw the ball to Chris Godwin. Now they certainly had Saquon, so you're going to give the ball to Saquon.
Yeah,
but they would put the ball up. Sean Clifford in his second year, I imagine he'll get more responsibility. But it wasn't like Penn State was running Wisconsin or anything. They didn't have a fullback on the field. It will be interesting to see in a second year, will they decide, you know what, we lost Hamler to the NFL, but we still have receivers. Will they trust him more? Because you just look at some of his numbers. Against Ohio State, he only threw the ball 17 times. Indiana, the game before, only 23 in the bowl game. Now, they ran the ball all over Memphis, so that might explain it, but only threw the ball 20 times. It will be interesting to see if James Franklin and his coordinators decide, you know what, we're gonna open it up for our experienced quarterback. But I'll still stick with Georgia. They have all the pieces, and they've had them for a while to move to a different type of offense. It'll just be a question of what Kirby Smart wants to do.
Are you watching the Golf Channel right now?
Why would I do that?
Because Marty Fleckman, who's a local guy here. He is on, and they're talking about the 67 U.S. Open, in which he competed. And I think that was his first Open, and he was right there up until the final holes. And it's just unbelievable. He was an amateur.
You know your TV is in quarantine, right? I know you are, but your TV is allowed to do other things. Like, you can turn the channel.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Why would I change the channel when the Golf Channel's on?
You just answered your own question.
You would never do that.
Yes, I would.
He was an amateur leading the U.S. Open in 1967.
Yeah.
How does that taste?
It doesn't taste anything. I don't taste anything.
So he told the best story, too. And I told us, he said, first time he teed it up at the Masters, you don't know. The scoreboard when you walk in is far away from the first hole. It's way right. And he was on the first tee, and he said he was so nervous. He hit his tee shot. And it went right of the scoreboard. And he asked the starter, the guy who says, now on the tee, Fleckman, Marty Fleckman. And he asked the starter, he said, hey, is that in bounds? And the guy said, I don't know, sir. I've never seen anyone hit it over there.
Did you start,
golf story.
Did you start that with saying he told a great story?
Golf story.
You said Fleckman told a great story, or the
yeah.
best story.
Yeah.
None of that was great or best.
It was unbelievable.
And you putting on that
and
fake
laugh. You know how many
laughs
are out there right now? How many people are laughing out there?
No
a
one.
Bunch.
No one. You even had to throw on a fake laugh. I would tell Lance to come get his boy, but he can't hear.
He can't.
He's in the room, but he can't hear you. And he's lucky because I have to hear you. And that's a terrible story. I mean, we went from the greatest sport of all time to the worst in a matter of seconds because you had to get your Golf Channel golf story in.
Yeah.
Talking about Fleckman. Shout out to Port Arthur, Marty Fleckman.
Marty Fleckman. Yeah, no, forever. He had a teaching school of Black Horse. He's a great guy. I used to have him on Sports Night Live all the time. Marty would come out, give us a lesson. Guys would bring like little trays of sand. And they put the ball in there, and then they show you how to hit out of it, out of a trace and sand in a bar.
Hmm. If Lance and I just went on strike one day and we're like, no, we're just, or well, maybe it's not something so aggressive. Maybe we both just had the same day off. What would be your dream golf show? Like, if you could go for 4 hours, who would be your guys to bring in and just talk golf? Let's say it's the weekend, the Friday before, or maybe the Thursday of a major tournament. You're like, you know what? John and Dell aren't here. I can talk golf. And the listeners, I don't care about them because I know I'm boring the hell out of them, but I'm still going to do this. What's your lineup of people?
Me, Tiger, no, Phil.
Well, okay. Let's say your realistic lineup of people you could bring in to talk golf.
Oh, I
know your dream would have the stars of the stars, but let's say the guys you could call up. Yeah, John, I'll do a segment or two with you.
Every Saturday morning right here on ESPN 97.5, the Charlie Epps Golf Hour with Charlie and Billy. And Bruce Davidson was back this week. How about that? Did you listen?
No, I didn't. It's Saturday morning. I'm not up.
You didn't
listening.
Listen to Bruce. You didn't listen to Bruce Davidson.
Only Bruce
from Scotland.
The only Bruce Davidson I care about is the actor Bruce Davidson. I don't think you had him on.
I don't even know who that is.
You would recognize his face. You would know him. I'm not gonna list his titles, but you would recognize him. This is the only one I care about. I don't care about your good buddy. I'm sure he's a great guy, but I'm not listening to him talk about golf on a Saturday morning. So it's Bruce Davidson, Charlie, and who else?
Oh, yeah, I know that Bruce Davidson.
Yeah, you recognize him.
And he's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd much rather have Bruce Davidson, the golf pro.
Sure you would. Anyone you'd rather have, yeah, as long as they play golf.
He designed Congaree.
What does
Did
that
you?
Mean? Is that
Did you design a golf course?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Right, because you can't. You would love to, but
no,
you can't.
I have no interest. You know, when you're a kid growing up and your parents ask you what you want to do for a living, no kid says, I want to design golf courses.
Yeah. No one. Yeah.
No one says that.
Design golf courses.
That becomes something you do later on in life, but no one thinks about doing that as a child.
You just don't know nothing about Marty Fleckman.
You're right. I don't. But you did just give me an awesome story that he told.
Yeah. No, it's a great story. One of the great stories in golf history.
Imagine, I could have done that. I could have told that story in the last segment of the show when you jumped off because your power got turned off. Man,
yeah.
How did I miss out on that opportunity?
Did you hear? Okay, so here's more news. The dates of the Roland Garros tournament, the French Open, confirmed, will be held over 3 weeks from September 21st to October 11th.
I'm not Ken Hoffman. Why would I care about the French
Open? I
know,
no one cares about that. No. Look, that's big news.
I know Dez sent this to take a shot at you, but even I'm not going to use tennis to take shots at you.
I don't know. What's F golf? Dez.
Hashtag F golf.
F golf. No. F tennis, because no one cares. You know why? You know why no one F's tennis? Because no one cares enough. Because tennis is too ugly to F.
Oh, boy. Is it time for a break? Let me see. Do we got a live to do? Oh, we do. Speaking of HR issues.
Speaking of me, let's talk about HRP.net. HRP.net. 281-880-6525. And the message is simple. How has your payroll company and HR company responded in these tough times? In these times when you've needed them most? In these times when you've needed answers? These times when you've needed action? Like the SBA loans, like the PPP, like unemployment claims. How has your payroll company reacted? Have they been knowledgeable? Have they been responsive? Have they done everything you've needed them to do? Or did it fall on you? And you're like, sorry, can't help you. Well, HRMP has helped all of their people because they have experts, not only experts there, but in the Affordable Care Act as well. And if your payroll company's been screwing that up, or if you're about sick of doing it yourself and can't do it anymore, HRP.net, 281-880-6525. My peeps are awesome. You will love them. You will love everything that they do for your company. Oh, and by the way, they do payroll, and they do HR, any HR issue as well. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
John, before you ruin another segment and take a couple hours off my life with more golf talk, did you see the story that the NBA will have an anonymous hotline so you can report on someone breaking health protocols?
Right.
Now people, rightfully so, are calling it a snitch line. In an informal poll,
I know.
I just asked a couple people around the office who would be most likely to snitch at our office, call that line. And you were one of the top candidates.
That I'd be most likely to snitch?
Yeah.
I don't care enough to snitch on anybody.
The problem with you is they say you would be accidental about it. Like you would think it wouldn't be such a big deal, and you put someone in the grease by just running your mouth without even knowing what you're doing.
That's not true.
Well, I'm just sorry. People close to me.
Now, if it was you doing something wrong, I would definitely
Well, there
snitch.
It is. So you just admitted to right. it. You right. would snitch.
I would snitch on you, yes. Yes.
So because you just contradicted
I
yourself
make sure
in a matter of minutes.
That you get yours.
For what? Okay? Why do you want me to get mine?
But just to make sure that I think we know why, though.
Why? Okay? No, you explain it to people. Go ahead. Why do you want me to get mine? Why are you out to get me?
Because you're a bad person.
No,
that's
I'm
the
not.
Only reason.
I yeah. wouldn't snitch on you. You're the bad person.
No. That's the only reason.
That's
now,
not true.
I wouldn't,
you're vindictive.
I wouldn't care,
you would do
I
it.
Wouldn't care enough to snitch on anybody.
Well, that's not what sources close to me tell me.
Is that right?
Yeah. I got word from sources that you would be most likely to snitch.
Who would be no, I already know. That's such a wrong answer.
Well,
I could name the snitches.
Well,
at our
someone
place.
Else named someone else too. That yes. person I talked to named someone else, but you were first, and then someone else was second.
No, I wouldn't. I would absolutely not be that. So, who was named the NBA player most likely?
Well, they
snitch?
Haven't had. Well, a lot of people obviously went with D'Angelo Russell because he's got a history.
Well,
he's got a history.
Yeah. Now that was I don't. Yeah. Now that is more. No, I guess he was. He just snitched. That's true.
Yeah, that's all he did. He snitched. He not but only ben, that, he videotaped.
I saw where Chris Paul was named.
Oh, yeah. He and D'Angelo Russell from NBA Twitter were the most named guys as far as who would call into that line. Some people obviously made the joke that LeBron and his chase for a title were reporting on Kawhi and Giannis. Now, we haven't seen what the NBA would do to someone who broke health protocol, though. I mean, we just know that there will be a hotline for people to call and say, look.
Well, I think you get tested right away then.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And then you test positive, you're done. And have
yeah.
you? I think they also have stuff in line now. All that stuff is coming out for the players, like that 100-page pamphlet about what can be done or can't be done or what the health protocols are. Like if you leave voluntarily, I think you have to be locked down for like 10 to 14 days.
Yeah. Oh, really? You don't get tested right away?
Well, a test may not show up immediately. So I think I saw where if you leave, you have freedom of movement, but if you go, you won't not just they'll quarantine you for a certain amount of time. That means if you left in the middle of the season, you're not practicing and you're not playing. If you leave the bubble.
That is terrible.
Well,
how about just test because there's an immediate response test. Now, my doctor said they're not accurate.
Yeah, that's the
problem.
They
don't use them. Yeah.
So
because they're so inaccurate. So, but if you leave, you have to sit for 14 days.
Well, I don't know. There's so many numbers going around, but I believe if you leave, maybe I'll backtrack from the 10 to 14 days, but if you leave, there's a quarantine period. So if you do it during the middle of a season or during the middle of the playoffs and you're found out, because they're not going to – Disney's not going to like just monitor you. That they're going to have to get together the NBA security and figure out how they want to do that. But there's a legit chance that if you leave and they see – and it wasn't an approved like, hey, I'm going here. I need to do this. The NBA said allows it because you're putting other people in danger.
Yeah. Well, guess what? No. Hey, I saw Giannis. He was in the. I saw it. Look, Giannis wasn't here. Giannis went left. He left. Nope. I know it's the finals, but Giannis left.
Yeah, so that's what that was what a lot of NBA Twitter was about. Who would snitch on who to try to win an NBA title? And LeBron CP3 and Russell got mentioned quite a bit. Yeah, I don't know if freedom of movement is one thing, but if you cost your team games or at least your availability for games, I don't know how you live that down.
No, if you're an idiot, and there's going how okay, under over three idiots that leave and get and have to quarantine.
If you're a playoff contender and one of your teammates leave,
well, what if you aren't? A contender?
I can see that happening. I can see guys who aren't even going to play.
They're just like F this, I'm out.
Let's see. I'm just going through some of Cham's stuff. Failure to comply with protocol subjects a player to potential discipline such as warning, fine, suspension, or removal from campus. Yeah. So yeah, they could. If you don't do what you're supposed to, and I imagine that involves leaving the campus, they can just say, "All right, you're out.
Beat it.
You're done. You're no longer part of this." So, sure, move around as much as you like on campus, but if you leave without an excuse, bye. I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
This is an enterprise that's nuts, and they're putting a lot into it. And if you jeopardize a potential team because you decide, I really like to be away from it all for a little bit. You're putting the whole experiment at risk.
I didn't even notice this, but 7-Elevens are all closed.
There are not many of them here, so I could see why you wouldn't, and I didn't know that either.
According to a press release, July 11, 2020 will not be marked by massive lines for free Slurpees as a tradition. Given a global pandemic that seems to only be getting worse, 7-Eleven, our top priority is safety, and apparently they're not opening. The Midsummer Corporate Center, they'll be donating 1 million meals instead. Can't get in line for a free Slurpee. So I didn't even know. Have they been closed? They're taking this year off from their annual birthday celebration. Oh, okay.
Yeah, just confirm what I said before. Any player who leaves the bubble environment would undergo a 10-day quarantine upon their return to Disney and will need to register 2 negative tests before returning to play. So, yeah, 10 days. You're out if you leave.
Wow.
So don't be – so go ahead. You guys want
– okay, well, guess what? Some idiot's going to leave.
I would imagine to be on a team that's maybe the eighth guy on the bench who's never going to play. Who never takes off the warm-up. I can see that guy going, you know what? I ain't playing.
Mm-hmm. No. F this. I'm out. I'm just out. Yeah. I'm done. 1, 2, 3. Got to get a bag of weed.
How hard would the NBA check on those bags? Like when guys bring in their stuff, you don't think weed's going to get snuck into the bubble? I don't think you're going to have to leave.
No, not if you got your as long as your weed guy, as long as you got him access in and out, as long as your weed guy, or can you throw it, maybe is there a wall around that they can throw the bag of weed over or something?
I don't know. Maybe the weed guy is part of the 35-member party that the NBA teams have been limited to. You just call him a trainer. Because I think I read that normally it's 50 people per travel party when an NBA team goes on a road game. Players, coaches, trainers, video guys, they're going to limit to 35. Now, they're going to provide barbers and people to do pedicures and manicures for the players. Will they provide a weed guy? Because players like different strains. So can't just have one central weed guy.
Essential workers. That's what you got to have. And you know what? Is there? Listen, that's an essential need, okay? That is essential. So, yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a story here about a family. Apparently, somebody delivered a package of 32 bags of weed. Was delivered. 32 bags of marijuana delivered to the wrong home. They called the cops. How stupid are these people?
Not everyone just wants to smoke weed, John. Some people are law-abiding.
Get your bag on. No, you know what you could sell? I mean, that's just dumb.
So you think it's easy to just start a weed business on weed that was mistakenly delivered to you. But first you got to find the people to do it. You got to buy baggies. You have to be of a certain mindset where You don't care if you get into a little stank with whoever it might be when you're selling. And then you have to worry about the person who finds out that their weed went to your house. Because in every movie I've ever seen, the person who gets the big bag of weed or the big bag of money that doesn't belong to them, someone always comes looking for them.
Well, guess what? Guess what? You gave it to the cops, even worse.
Just all you do is say, hey, excuse me, officer, this big bag of weed was delivered to my home. Can you take it upon you? Can you take it? Because I don't want to deal with it. And the cop will go, yes, I will sell it for you and then give you none of the money.
Well, now that happens.
Yeah.
If the cops will sell it for me, then I'll call them.
Well, they'll sell it and keep the money. And then when you say, hey, what happened to my money? What money? What weed?
Oh, really? Because I got you recorded saying you were going to sell the weed for me.
And in all
I was
those,
smart.
And in all those movies that when people try to record the cops, they wind up dead. So I live my life by what I see in movies. I'm turning the weed in and not threatening the police. That's all.
Yeah, well, guess what? You're not living.
Yeah, you live
in
different
life. You get 32
life.
Free bags of weed, you sell them.
I know you come from a place where you take advantage of things that fall off a truck. It's not me. I don't have that in me.
Mm-hmm. 10:43 ESPN 97.5. News of the Weird. Hopefully we'll finish it today as opposed to yesterday right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Did you see the story about Diego, the Galapagos tortoise?
No, what did that tortoise do?
100 years old. But apparently he's retiring.
Is he in an exhibit? How does he retire?
Well, apparently he had a legendary libido, and he's credited with actually saving his species from extinction. He has 800 kids. Dude just could not get enough.
And he's retiring from procreating?
Well, he's 100 years old.
And Diego just
said,
I'm done.
And he said, you know what? Hey, even Ron Jeremy said, I'm tired, okay? I'm not sure. No, actually, we had Ron Jeremy on, and he wasn't tired.
Yeah, I don't think he said that at all. I think people just got tired of looking at him. So Diego, when female tortoises who know about his, let's just say his ability to get things done, and when they swim up to him, he goes, "Nah, fam, I'm out. I'm done. I'm tired.
Yeah, I'm tired. Hey, somebody else." How about somebody else step in here?
You would think of all his 800 kids, there'd be a next in line, an heir to the throne.
Right. Right? That you got, hey, what? That's all you kids do is lay around.
I'm over here saving a species. And what are you guys doing?
I got to do everything?
Yeah, I'm
you
done
kids,
here.
Hey, and you know what? Take the garbage out, too, by the way.
Well, isn't the problem that since he saved the species, wouldn't it just be, you know, brother and sister doing stuff as tortoises? Wide is the DNA?
Well, that's why why they're slow. Maybe that's why they're kind of slow is because.
Ooh,
well,
and I just had another.
There's all kinds of inbreeding going on.
I just had
an
ugly thought. How many times has Diego procreated with one of his daughters?
Oh yeah, goodness. Hey, gotta get wherever you can.
No,
Diego's
no.
You know what? I'll do it.
No,
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know if Diego cares enough, and it's probably wrong for me to put human morals onto a tortoise. But yeah, I just got the thought: if he's saving a species, Diego's probably done some things that he doesn't want to talk about. Maybe that's why he's retiring. The burden.
Garuda Indonesia says flight attendants will forego masks so passengers can see if they're smiling or frowning. By this picture, I mean, they got some hot stewardesses. Now, you never know. They probably, they don't really look like this. But they got a picture of them. They wear, sashes and, a nice Indonesian garb. Yeah, no masks.
I
don't take away my rights to see if you're smiling.
honestly, as outside of the whole the dumbness of not wearing a mask so people can see what you're, how you're smiling or not smiling, I've always been a little perturbed by the fact that every time I'm in an airport, the flight attendants who aren't on my flight turn out to be far more attractive than the ones that are on my flight.
Right.
Have you noticed that? Like, when you see just a flight attendant going from plane to, or gate to gate, or maybe they're this is their hub, so they're heading home, I always go, none of the flight attendants look like that on my plane.
Yeah, what flight were you on?
Yeah, I don't
probably
ask.
Probably a private flight.
I don't ask that question.
Or one coming from Europe.
Yeah, I've never asked that question.
You can't be on mine.
But they're never as attractive as the ones on my plane are never as attractive as the ones just walking around. That reminds me of the first time I went to a Hooters, I got a pregnant waitress. I was like, this ain't the Hooters I'm looking for.
That's it. I'm out.
Yeah.
This ain't all it's cracked up to be.
And I've only been to Hooters since to set up things like for radio, set up remotes, or get a broadcast going. I haven't been since as just a normal customer because the first experience was weird.
A man was fined 500 pounds for farting, quote unquote, with full intent at Vienna police.
So it wasn't negligence, like this one just slipped out. Did he aim and take fire with the fart? Like, so how do you, what is full intent? Did he pull down his pants?
No, he just apparently loudly, he broke wind in front of the police. This incident happened on June 5th. City police wrote on Twitter that, of course, no one is reported for accidentally letting one go. The man had behaved provocatively and uncooperatively during an encounter with officers that preceded the fart.
So you said this was in Vienna. So there's a law on the books about farting?
He got up from a park bench, looked at officers, and let go a massive intestinal wind, apparently with full intent.
Who put that on the books?
Man, I wish I could fart at will like that.
Well, he probably was holding it in for this particular opportunity, but who puts it on the books that we're going to fine you $500 for farting? Who decides that that's a rule or law to put on the books, and the city council of Vienna votes on it, or however they implement laws? They just say, yeah, you know what? This makes sense. 500. And is it only farting at an officer of the law, or is it just anytime you fart?
Anyone. Can you just fart at anybody and get arrested and pay the fine?
I think you should go to Vienna and find out. Your next trip in Europe, find someone, fart on them, and see if you get fined.
Finally. Black pastor arrested after calling 911 on a group of white people.
What did he call him? What did he call 911 for?
A sheriff of Virginia has apologized to a black pastor who was arrested after calling 911 on a group of white people who now face hate crime and assault charges. Oh, okay. So the sheriff actually had to apologize to the black pastor.
I thought I saw one. Okay. I thought I saw one where a black man called the police on white people who were threatening him, and he got arrested. But that seems like norm. That seems like
yeah,
something that happens all the time.
Yeah, that's what happened here.
Oh, maybe it's this is the story.
Except the sheriff had to apologize to the pastor for arresting him because they were hate crime people.
Oh, you think calling 911 and getting arrested is a problem when you're the one being assaulted or verbally abused? Huh. So what was their initial reasoning for arresting the pastor?
Responded to the altercation, the group threatened to kill him after he stopped them from dumping a refrigerator on his property, but arriving deputies arrested him instead. Mm. I don't know.
I think we both know.
It's America 2020.
I think we both know why he got arrested.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the mugshots of the people who were. Yeah.
They look like they should have been arrested.
Yeah. I don't know how you see these five and think, oh, they're probably law-abiding, upstanding citizens.
Yeah. Sewer water in Amsterdam shows drug use fell during coronavirus lockdown. Are your sewers, do they have less drugs in them, Dell, since the pandemic?
I'm not a person who checks that for a living, so I'm not sure.
But what about from your house?
I don't.
Is there less drug use?
No, I don't. Well, there's the same amount of drug use, and you can take that however you like it. Does that mean I always do drugs, or does that mean I never do drugs? I'm not answering the question for you. I think we should bring in Nick. and have him answer it.
Okay. You think Nick is the
I think he's the perfect one. As far as producers are concerned, he's the perfect one to answer that question. Mm-hmm. But to answer yours, same amount of drugs in my sewer system. Pandemic, no pandemic, hasn't been changed. Whose job is that? How do you even determine that? Do you are they checking the water? Like, how do you know?
Well,
or excess weed being flushed down the toilet?
Maybe fewer syringes.
Okay, I got you. Oh, yeah. You're talking about the hard stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, I got you.
You've seen restaurants put mannequins. This restaurant in Michigan is putting ghosts at tables that you can't sit at. And ghosts, they got the sheet over. I think this is, I don't know.
Why don't you just?
I'm not all about the sheet thing.
Well, particularly a white one. I get you.
Well, they got faces on them, though, happy faces and stuff. So maybe, I don't know.
Why don't? A sign isn't. How about not having chairs there?
Yeah,
wouldn't that be easy enough? Instead of buying sheets, you don't even have to make a sign that says these are reserved. Just say, remove the chairs, and then I feel like that's easy enough, and everyone gets it. This table's not available. I don't know if you heard this, John, but I'm an idea man.
Yeah, I know.
I got all these ideas for people, and they're not coming to me for answers. Just take the chairs out of the sitting area. I mean, Starbucks, not all of them, but some Starbucks are like, we're not even going to tell you you can't sit here. We're just going to never leave a chair out. So, you know, don't think you're sitting here. Get your coffee and get the hell out. I think that sends a message.
Oh, we're out of time. Damn it. I'll ask you this one tomorrow about Star Wars.
I don't care about Star Wars, so. Well, I don't think I got a good answer.
If you were Chance, then you would care.
Yeah.
But you're not Chance.
Email Chance. He probably has an answer for you.
Yeah, Chance will have an answer for it. All right, we're done. It's the Press Box next right here on ESPN 97.5. Have a great day, everybody.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.